So we were discussing, we've been discussing Adam HaMazik. We're going to continue with that just a little bit. And then we'll turn our attention to no less than Aish. Okay. What do they say, a hot topic? You know, Aish. Okay. So the what we've seen so far, we analyzed a little bit, some of the, a bunch of the Gemaras. I'll tell you what we're up to, and then we'll continue with that. So the there's a debate, as we saw in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Arba Avos Zikin, Ashor Habor HaMaveh VaHever. There's a debate whether Maveh means Adam, Adam HaMazik, or it refers to Shane. Rav's position is that it refers to Adam HaMazik. So according to Rav, at least, Maveh, Adam HaMazik, is included in the Mishnah of Arba Avos Zikin, alongside Nizke Mamon. Actually, that's part of the issue and the problem, because it's not so obvious that we would want to integrate Nizke Mamon and Adam HaMazik. Nizke Mamon has a an intervening layer there, meaning the man who's, you know, charged of the bank account and is going to pay the you know, the compensation. He didn't actually do anything, you know. So his fire did it, his board did it, his shore did it, this kind of shore, that kind of shore, the next kind of a shore. But Adam HaMazik is a direct active hazard. Nonetheless, Rav thinks that Adam HaMazik belongs to the Mishnah. And of course, that either means one of three things. It either means that, you know, the Mishnah is a much looser amalgam than you know, than we might have thought, meaning being in the same Mishnah doesn't actually imply very much. You can have different mechayvim, different types of nezek in the same Mishnah. Or it means that, like we used to think, that being in the same Mishnah is significant, but either it means that Nizke Mamon is more like Adam than you would think, meaning even though there is an intervening force, that intervening force is viewed as somehow as an extension of the person, since it's my animal, my shore, my Aish. So, you know, I did a nezek agav al yedei by means of this vehicle, but it's viewed mostly as a vehicle, or the opposite, and that it's the parallel opposite, and that is not so much to bring Nizke Mamon in line with Adam HaMazik, but the other way. Adam HaMazik looks very different than Nizke Mamon, but if we think this is a fellowship, you know, this is a grouping that is significant. So what we need to say is that it's not the act of Hezek in Adam HaMazik, it's the failure of Shmiras Atzmo, of you know, reining himself in, and that is actually the language of the Gemara on Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, well, if, again, maybe it's true only for Rav, and maybe because of the reasons that we just said, maybe that already biases things. If you read the Mishnah like Rav, and the Mishnah then says, Arba Zazikin, Hashor, Habor, we'll say instead of Mava, we'll put in the word Ha'adam, the Ha'esh, right? And then the Mishnah goes on and said, Atzad Shava Shabahen, Shadarkan Lahazik, Ushmirasan Alecha. So that's what the Gemara says on Dalet Amud Aleph. What do you mean, Shmirasan Alecha? Talk about Shmirasan Alecha, you're talking about something extraneous to you. You are obligated, right, to guard, to rein in it. So the it is an Aish, and the it is a shore, and the it is a boar. How is the it yourself? The answer is yes, you're obligated to get control of your own emotions, your own passions, your own actions. I mean, you have to guard yourself. So that is, these are three ways that one could read the Mishnah. All that is very important in terms of heightening our awareness, raising our consciousness about what's possible and what we should be looking at. But the concrete issue is also is much more acute, and that is, are there differences between Adam HaMazik and Nizke Mamon? And the, in addition to questions of, that's pretty good, right? In addition to questions of, where does the breeze come from? No, it's great. No.
People were cold originally.
Oh, I'm not cold.
People warmed up already.
I'm just intrigued. I guess, on the contrary, it's challenging. I find it stimulating. You know. Why shouldn't we
be able to do many things at a time?
Is there any significance to the border, shore border?
Yes. Yeah, we've talked about it. Yeah, it might be. Might very well be. Rishonim talked about it. Yeah, 100%. So, but the point now that we're trying to make is that, right, so the question of classification we've discussed, and the Rambam even more so, because he put Adam HaMazik in Hilchos Chovel, because he doesn't hold like Rav. But the much bigger question is, are there actual nafkamina, concrete differences between Adam HaMazik and Nizkei Mamon by virtue of this difference, if indeed it is a difference? If we say that Adam HaMazik, the directness of his responsibility and his action, right, differentiates it from the rest of Nizkei Mamon, we would expect that there would be nafkamina. So the biggest nafkamina that you could ever possibly want, and which is the discussion about Adam HaMazik, is the Ptur of Onus. Right? If the person damages in a way that is accidental or not intentionally, it's not only not intentional, I should say accidental, right? What happens in that circumstance? So typically, when it comes to the other Avos Nezikin, right, you have an obligation of Shmira. I mean, it can't be Poshea. But frankly, even a Shmira Pechusa typically is all you require. A Karen Tam actually has a more intense, you know, Shmira requirement. But that's not for now. But either way, even Karen Tam is certainly Potur in a case of onus. And if you did what you were supposed to do, and the animal got free and damaged, right, and there was no laxity on your part, no negligence on your part, then certainly in this case, when you are going to be potter. The question is, what about Adam HaMazik? This is what we were discussing last week. The Mishnah says on Chavav Amud Aleph that Adam Muad Liolam. The Mishnah says, Ben Shogi, Ben Mezid, Ben Eri, Ben Yashin, whether he's sleeping, whether he's awake, whether it's intentional, whether it's accidental, whether it's unintentional. Then the Gemara in Chavav Amud Beis goes further and says, you know, in addition to that, Bein Ones, Bein Ratzon. Right? Ones is Madrega higher. Then the Gemara makes it clear that Afilu Ben Misasek, right, even if a person is not aware of what he's doing, something happens inadvertently, you know, because he just isn't cognizant of it. That's different than Ones. There also he's Chayiv. And then the Gemara says on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph that Afilu Nafal Beruach She'ena Mitzuya, meaning not a regular wind, you know, took him, pushed him off the roof, whatever it is, caused him to fall, and he damaged someone, something, even that is chayiv. All these are cases which come under the kind of larger rubric of Adam Muad Liolam Afilu Ba'onus. Okay? On the other hand, this is what we discussed last week, there are other sources. And these other sources imply that there possibly are limitations to the chiyuv of Adam Muad Liolam. One is a Yerushalmi, the one that we've seen a few times, and that is that the Yerushalmi says that when you damage in a state of being asleep, right, that it matters whether or not you know, the object or the person that gets damaged was present when you fell asleep, or only was placed there after you are ready in a state of sleep. So why does it make a difference in the end of the day if you say Adam Muad Liolam Afilu Ba'ones? Okay, that's one. Then you have the sugyas in the beginning of Hameniach, where the Gemara says that you know, if either everybody puts barrels all over Rishus Rabbim, so it's very difficult to walk, right? Or there's something, you know, that is right there when you turn the corner and you couldn't possibly, you know, predict that it would be there or plan to avoid it, right? The Keren Zavis, or Bafela, if you happen to be walking at night and you bump into something and you destroy something in Rishus HaRabin. So in all those cases, the Gemara seems to say that you are Potter. And again, the question is, why should you be Potter? Why not say Adam Muad Liolam? Then there are two Gemaras, two other Gemaras, at least, One is a Gemara about Shomrim, Gemara Bava Metzia, where a person's a Shomer, and he moves around the things that he's guarding, a Chavis, let's say, and an accident takes place, and it gets destroyed as he's moving it around. So the sugya there seems to say it depends what kind of Shomer he is. That he'll pay according to the level of his Shmira, Shomer Chinam, Shomer Zachar, Socher, Shoel, that will dictate how much, or the conditions, or whether he has to pay. So all the Rishonim ask, why? In the end of the day, he damaged the object. It's not like he was a Shomer and then it got hit by lightning. He damaged it when he moved it from place to place. No one thinks that he was negligent. But when he was moving it, it got damaged. What happened to Adam Muad Leola? Why does it depend on his level of Shmira? Similarly, the Gemara says a Tabach Umban Shakilkel. Let's say you have a, you hire a shochet, right, for supper, and he makes a mistake, you know, and he's misnabel he's menabel the animal, so the animal is no longer fit to be eaten. So again, the Gemara there says that he doesn't pay like a mazik. The degree of his liability depends on what kind of, contract he had, what kind of shomer he is, or he's not a shomer in this case, what kind of poel he is, etc., etc. So the question again is what happened to Adam Muad'iyom. So the point is that there are a few other cases too. There are numerous cases that, on the one hand, reinforce the perspective of Adam Muad'iyom afilu ba'ones, and then there are other gemaras that are seemingly pointing in the other direction, telling us that there are limitations on the accountability even of Adam Amaz. And the question is, what do you do with the mixed evidence? So what we saw last week is that the Bali Tosis solution is basically to relatively minimize Adam Bu'adayola. In their opinion, any onus gamor for sure is Pator, even in Adam Amazik. That's how they explain all the last five or six sources that I mentioned, including the Rishalmi. What's that? They don't actually use that expression, but we will get to Onus Achmana Patre in just a couple of minutes. It's curious that they don't. But I'm absolutely going to speak about that in a couple of minutes. I think that really the reason the Bali Tosis believe this is for another reason. The reason I say that is because I didn't finish the sentence. The Bali Tosis say Onus Gomer for sure is Pater, but they go a giant step further and conclude that even the Onus on the level of Gneva is Pater. There's about three levels of Onus, let's say, for argument's sake, right? One is the onus level of aveda. You're a shomer, let's say, and you lose the object. You're not negligent, but you lose it. Okay? It gets lost. Then there's another level, right? And that's gneva. Somebody steals it from your possession. And then there's a lightning strike. The lightning strike is on his gomer. The Gemara in a few places says that the onus, that the level of Gneva is considered to be Karov la'onus. And Aveda is considered to be Karov la'pshia. But it's not quite pshia. I mean, a Shomer Chinam is not chayiv if he loses the object, in a certain way. So what the Bali Tosis say, which is quite remarkable, is that all the Mishnah and the Gemara and all the sugyas, all they ever meant when they said Adam Muad Leolam, was that if you have onus on the level of Aveda, which is really Karov L'Pshia, but not quite Pshia, then you're Chayiv. But if you even have onus on the level of Geneva, you're Potter. Never mind onus, on the level of, malach hamavas, malihacha, malihasa, a lightning strike, an earthquake, whatever. Right? So the reason that I I refrain, but I'm going to get to it in a minute, from thinking that Bali Tosis' view is sustained by Onus Rachmana Patre, right, is because I don't think that we apply Onus Rachmana Patre on the level of Onus of Gnema. Right. So really what they're saying is that Oda Mu'ad Li'olam is a misnomer. Meaning it's mostly, it just mima'et, you're chayev for more than Pshia, for a level like Aveda, but not much more than that. And the question is why? But if we build up, right, the language of the Gemara, or the Ha'ara about the language of the Mishnah, and Daladim and Aleph, Daladim and Beis, and Achronim say this as well, not my Chiddush, certainly, namely, that the problem in Adam HaMazik is Shmiras Atmo, then it's very reasonable. Because what we're saying is, you know, if you're Poshea, of course there's no Shmiras Atmo. Even if you allow the level of Aveda to take place, that's not considered Shmiras Atmo either. But once you're at the level of Geneva, that's not a lack of Shmiras Atmo. Okay. What do I mean to contrast this to? Contrasting it to another perspective in Adam HaMazik, well, let me just add one more word, and that is, if you look at Adam HaMazik this way, you are already implicitly, right, refining or redefining Adam HaMazik in light of Nizkei Mamon. He's saying, you know, it's in the same Mishnah, maybe, but either way, it's the same kind of halacha. Right? But the alternative, let's say the radical opposite alternative, is to say, Adam Yuad Leolam, to build that up, Afilu Ba'ones, because it's nothing to do with Shmiras Atzmo. Shmiras Atzmo, there'll always be a limit. What the limit is, you know, for liability, you could argue, but there always has to be some limit. I mean, there's a point where, beyond which, I'm doing my job, you know, making sure that I'm not behaving like a mazik. Right. If I'm still chayev, then it's not a lack of Shmiras Atzma. What is it? The answer is, it's the Maisa Hezek. You were mazik. Factually, in the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether you're responsible, it doesn't matter, you know, that you took every precaution Shmira-wise on yourself that you were supposed to, maybe even lifnim Mishur Sadin, but you still did the Hezek, didn't you? We'll maybe qualify this in two ways in just a minute. So that if you think the Mechayev of Adam HaMazik, and especially contrast it to Nizkei Mamon, is Maisa Hezek and not Shmiras Atzmo, then you are much more likely to begin with, right, to expand the Chiyuv, right, and to limit any kind of Ptur. Now, we'll get to Onus Rachmana Patre in a minute, because I think that belongs somewhere in the middle here. So whose view is that? That's not the view of the Pentosis. The Tos I mentioned is Tosan Kavzainu Ad Beis and Tosan Bab Metzia Daf Pei Beis. I think we saw them both last time. It's fascinating. No, actually, I'll get that in a second. Okay. So whose view is that? Well, it's the most famous, let's say, identified Rishon with that view is the Ramban. I don't know if we read it last time. Did we read it last time? If not, we'll look at it again because it's worthwhile. This is on page. Page 2 on the bottom. Yes, Afilu Ba'ones, Petza Tachas Patza. So this is the Ramban. It's line 36 on page 2 of the bottom. Says the Ramban. Umatzasi betosis bavakama. Everybody have it? Bottom of page 2? Umatzasi betosis bavakama. Chavzayin omid beis. Right? The Ramban said, I saw the tosis bavakama. Shemifarshim osam mishum adam amazik. Okay. Vimke loma patrula divrei omer onusu. Hallo odam muad leolim ben onus ben ratzon. The question Bali Tosis asked, which is, the Gemara in Chavzayin Ud Beis has cases where the guy is walking at night, he took the, you know, the sharp turn, the Rishus HaRabim is Malay, whatever it is. So what's the difference? Adam Liola, did he bang into the other fellow's barrel? Did he bang into the other person? In the end of the day, who did the who's the kumba asay? You know, oseh hahezek. I'm just avoiding a little bit for the moment, calling him a mazik. But okay, who did the hezek? The answer is the kumba asay person who did the hezek was him. So what happened to Adam Muad Leolam, Bein Onus, Bein Ratzo? The Hamish Shivu, Valitosis gave the answer, She'enuchai Be'onsim Gedolim, right? That when there's Onsim Gedolim, meaning, we're already seeing, there's not one Onus, there's a hierarchy of Onsim. A significant Onus, then you're Potter. Enuchai. The Samcho Samanei Rushalmi, right? They base this on the Rushalmi. Sha'amrud said, "B'yashen u'b'chaber v'yashen etzlo, hu hamuad." That if a person is sleeping and then somebody brought kalim or he himself slept next to him, right? Then the second guy is the muad. V'efshi lahamida says the now the Ramban's talking after reporting Tosas. He says that it doesn't stand scrutiny. The hasam. The reasoning in the case of the Yerushalmi, and this is actually the language of the Yerushalmi, I think we mentioned last time, that it's fascinating that the Balitosis kind of ignore, on Dalel and Amud Aleph, when they quote the Yerushalmi, they quote the full Yerushalmi. On Kav Zayin Amud Beis, and above Metziah, Dav Pei Beis Amud Beis, they quote the Yerushalmi as proof of their doctrine, namely the Adam Muad, the Adam is a very limited halacha, that there are, you know, there is a significant Ptur on us. They say one of the rayas is the Yerushalmi. But the language of the Yerushalmi itself, right, includes the words that the second fellow brought it upon himself. Balitosis ignore it. It's fascinating. It's almost as if the Balitosis are of the opinion that, listen, you have two choices here. If you're going to take the radical view that Odam Muad Leolam applies afilu ba'onas gamur, right? Namely, the physical action is what determines, and the physical action is that Reuven banged into Shimon. Then whatever Shimon did that contributed, right, to the context, right, of that happening, in the end of the day, if all we care about is the act itself, it doesn't matter. Now, Tosas doesn't say this, but it's implicit in Tosas, meaning for Tosas to bring a raya from the Yerushalmi and to ignore the language of the Yerushalmi is to say, if you hold like the Ramban, this is anachronistically, obviously the Ramban lived 150 years later, but if you're going to hold a position like the Ramban, right, then the contributory role of the Nizak should also be irrelevant. Once you're calculating those other factors, then the orientation should also dictate that Onas Gomor is Potter in its own right. Not just when you can attribute, mitigating, circumstances, right, specifically to the actions of the Nizak. Everybody with me on that? So I believe that's what's implicit in Balitos. That's why they drop the language. They're saying, listen, there are two ways to read the Yerushalmi. If you believe that your Adam Muad Leolam is Gamur, then it shouldn't work. Don't tell me about the Nizak being hoisted upon his own petar. Because the Maisa Hezek is still done by the Mazik. And if you think, on the contrary, that it's about Shmiras Atzmo, and it isn't about the Maisa Hezek, then even without the contribution of the Nizak, there will be other factors as well that will make the Mazik at some point Potter. That's the Balitosis. But the Ramban doesn't think that just because you take a literal and an extreme view of Adam Muad Leolam, that has to preclude all other circumstances and factors. Okay? Either does the Rama. So the Ramban says, Yef Shilamida, the Hasam Yishum Desheni Pasha Biatzmo. The reasoning in the Yerushalmi is not because Adam Muad Leolam is Potter B'on Sin. It's because the victim brought it upon himself. That's a different factor. The Chein Mash Omer Bimahi Baal Korah Rishon Baal Chavitz Achron. What happens? The Baal Korah is... you have a guy walking in the barrel. I'm sorry, a guy walking in the street, and another guy walking behind him, and one guy stops up short, and the other guy bangs into him. Right? The Kula Masnisen says the Ramban, again, that the Adam Muad Leolam that is chayiv for Onas Gamur, because the other father brought it upon himself. V'chei Masham Lefishen Darkan Shobanonim Lizbonim Bedrachim. Kulam Geshem Adam Amazik Mishim Pshia Denizak Pachubahem. Says Ramban, this avenue, right, this idea, you know, that as much as Adam Muad Leolam has no onus, that's all true, but there's a totally different perspective, and that is contributory victimhood, let's say, of the Nizak. That explains practically all the Gemaras. Practically.
Why would you call the Nizak's action Pshia?
Pshia Satsmo. Not Pshia to
he
the...
He lay down next to the Yashin. It wasn't for sure that the Yashin was going to...
wasn't for sure, but he put himself in jeopardy. He put himself in jeopardy. This man doesn't have... is not cognizant that this point... at this point, this fellow is sleeping. He doesn't have control over what he's doing. So he's taking... he's
taking the
knees?
I wouldn't call
it
Shia.
No.
Who said the other guy's going to hit him?
Shias Atmo. Meaning, we're not, we don't need a threshold to make him chayiv for what he did to the other fellow. We only need a threshold to make the other fellow patur for what, for the risk that he put himself into. Understand? Those are two different things. We're not making him a poshea legabe the sheni, we're making him a poshea legabe that the rishon, right, should not be a mazik because he took his own risk. That's very reasonable. I mean, the guy went to sleep. He's already unconscious. You know, whatever his sleep patterns are, that's going to, if I decide to put my Ming vase there, then I'm taking a risk. It's my kumbase, not his. Well, they are, they're not. It doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, he took the risk. He's the one who initiated the new reality, is what I'm trying to say. And therefore, in reconstructing the responsibility for the damage that ended up taking place, it's very hard. It's not just that the you know, it's not a turonos larishon, is what we're saying. He forfeits the right to collect nezek when he brings nezek upon himself. Igloi milsel mafreya, right? And it doesn't depend on that. Maybe Balitosis would say what you're saying, but you know, mimanishah. But the Ramban's saying it doesn't matter what the percentage or the likelihood is that he will end up damaged. What matters is that whatever happened because of his actions, right? First. Okay, and then they're okay. So that is the Ramban. V'chei ma'ash omer lefi shein darkness from him. We say fine. Oshehem bor, fine. Kagon shalom. This is fine. El harakah. V'ot. That is also important. Odeviu tabach uman shekilkel. The potur bechinam. V'amai onam amazik. You have this shochet, right? Who misshechted. He made a mistake in the shechita. So why not say he's a mazik? V'chinam yisfirulon onosu. What are you going to say? Because he didn't do it on purpose. He by accident. You know, he did his best, but the sakin slipped, or he didn't know it was a bad sign, whatever it was, something that couldn't be prevented, doesn't matter, on a muad leolam, right? B'chayiv. Says, v'zeh v'adai kosh aleihem, dekiven the b'chayiv b'schar, right, since he gets paid, alma ken geneva v'aveduhu, v'lavon es gadol, v'lavon es katan, u'patru b'chinam. Ela, says Ramban, she'in ba'uma natoa b'malachto mishamazik. That's a very important line. He says, in the end of the day, this is a din in Poel. It's not a din in Mazik. I'll explain in just a minute. That's a critical line. The Sof Davar, Kivin Shizkiru Chachomin Ba'onis Nizakin, Evan Munachas Bechei, then he goes back to the first point. Is it really true, Adamu the Adam Afila Ba'onis Gamor? Says Ramban, in the end of the day, Sof Davar, Kivin Shizkiru Chachomin Ba'onis Nizakin, Evan Munachas Bechei, that's the Misase case on Chavav Medbeis. Vilo Hikar Ba'meolam, yeah. V'nafam in Agag Bro Shena Mitzuya, Chav Zayin Umed Aleph, as you can see, right? Hare is kiru sofa onsin kulam. Eilecha onsim gedolim mehem. Now you don't have to say this, especially about the Ruach Shena Mitzuya. Ruach Shena Mitzuya can mean an unusual or not a usual wind. It doesn't have to mean a hurricane. Right? It could be, it doesn't have the tame threshold of a normal breeze. Right? Doesn't mean, how Eina Matsui is it? Ramban thinks this is Eina Matsui, right, as it could be. Okay? A hurricane. A twister. Hari is Kiru Sof Onsin Kulam. De Ruach Shena Mitzui Afilu Ka'osa Shel Eliyahu B'mashma. I guess the wind that whipped up, you know, Eliyahu in his ascent was quite, according to the Ramban, the serious wind. Probably makes sense. The Ruach Mitzuya is Kira Linyan Shamachinam, but Ruach Shein Mitzuya lo is Kira B'talmud, El Linyan Ones, not Shamasachar. Dehu mina Onsin HaGedolim Sheba Olam. Wow. Ben Kambokam Laharach Zay Yosemita. This is the Ramban. What does he mean when he says that a Tabach is not a Mazik? So I think the idea is as follows. I mean, the Ramban takes the view that Adam Mu'ad Li'olam is literal. And the reason for that is because it's nothing to do with Shmiras Atzmo. It's Maisa Hezek, or being a Mazik. But the opening that provides the Ramban is the idea that sometimes you may have done the physical act, but Al Pidin, it's not Mazik. What do you mean it's not mazik? It's not mazik, according to the Ramban, because you have a different status, and therefore you're judged differently. A shomer, the other example he doesn't talk about, but which the Rishonim talk about, is shomer, I mentioned before. Shomer is moving the chavis around, and he breaks the chavis accidentally when he's moving it. Right? So the Bali Tosa say, forget about being a shomer, he also is adam mazik. Must be that there's a ptur onus. But the Ramban will say about both of these cases, who says that bichlal, any other status, there's also the status of mazik, which would exist in a vacuum. Maybe that isn't true. Maybe sometimes when you have an alternative framework, that alternative framework, right, precludes being a mazik, because you only have a relationship with this object. You're a mazik if you have no relationship to this person, to this object, and you do an act that destroys it. But if you have a kesher, with a bond with this person or this object, a legal bond, a professional bond, right, then it's very possible that, you know, your actions which are legitimate as a shomer, as a tabach, etc., they're not defined as a maisa hezek. That's called maisa omenus. Or Maisa Shmira. Now it ended up Mimela in a loss. But that's not a Maisa Hezek. The very basis for the Ramban's Chumra, this is what I'm trying to say, namely, that Adam Mu'ad Li'olam Afilu Ba'onus Gamor, because you're a Mazik and you did a Maisa Hezek, ends up being also a basis for some of his Kulas. Because there are things that aren't a Maisa Hezek. They're a Maisa Umnus, which sof cause a loss, a hefsed, but it's not a Hezek. I'll give you one other example before, just one second, just before the question. And that's something we had in the very beginning of the year, according to some Rishonim, and that is the question of Tavra V'Shasya. Gemara says in Bava Kama, Dav Samech Heomad Aleph, parallel Gemara Bamitziah, Mem Gimel, that if a person steals an object, right, and when he steals it, it's worth $100. $1. He steals it, it's worth $1. You know, and then, says the Gemara, Tavra Vashasya, let's say he ate it, or drank it, or he destroyed it, and the time when he destroyed it, a month later, it was worth $4. Right? So the Gemara says that you're chayiv the $4. That's a Gemara. Oh. What happens, right? And that's called Tavra Vashasya. Right. However, the Gemara has the following, the Mishnah and the Gemara have the following case. You have a Bava Machteres, the Sugim Sanhedrin Ayin Beis, a very famous Gemara. A person steals into somebody else's basement. He constitutes a threat to that person's life, basically. And therefore, we call him a rodef. Right? In theory, the guy could defend himself, the owner of the house could defend himself by killing the intruder. Right? And the Gemara says, therefore, if the object were to be destroyed, that's the object that the ganav is stealing at that point in time, he wouldn't have to repay it. Why? Because the principle of kam le bedrava mineh. Since his life was on the line, right, even though it's rodef, not exactly a chiyuv misa, but a heter misa, the chiddush of the Gemara, that since it's kam le bedrava mineh, there's a misa component. Therefore, he's potter mina tashlumin. Oh. So the Rishonim discuss, there's a debate between Rav and Rav and the Gemara, let's say that first, whether or not, let's say the object that he stole, the kind of stolen object in the basement, when his life was hanging by the, you know, by the ballots, and he still has the object, but there's no danger anymore. I mean, now he's in the light of day, no one's going to get killed. Okay. So that's a debate between Rav and Rava, whether he has to return the object or not. Fine. What if he we paskin like Rava? Rava says if the object is banned, he has to return the object. Fine. This is all background information. Now we get to the main point. What happens if the object gets destroyed? It's no longer banned, but not when he was in the machteret, but afterwards, where there's no death penalty, heter, hanging over the guy's head. Right? Let's say at 4 a.m. he broke into the guy's basement and he stole his tennis racket. Right? And the tennis racket was be'en, when the rodef part of the story is over. Okay? And there's no longer any danger and he's supposed to return the object. But then he destroys it. Right? So the Ramban says that's called Tavra Vashasa, you have to pay. Right? The most Rishonim, the Rashi, Tosas, Balamor, most of the Rishonim of the opinion, he doesn't have to pay. So the Ramban says, I don't understand. We have something called Tavra Vashasa, it's Mazik, basically. You're Mazik the object. There's no coming to drop him day when you're Mazik it. Why shouldn't you have to pay? So the Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin says, has a line in which he says, he's not a regular mazik, this is a continuation of his, he still has a shame ganaf and gazlan, as long as he's holding the object and he hasn't returned it, and he got this is his ill-gotten gain from his theft, he's basically a ganaf and a gazlan, and the rules of mazik don't apply in the same way to a ganaf and a gazlan, that they apply to a third party. Okay? That's basically what the Ramban is saying. It's probably easier for the Ramban to say it than, even though he didn't like that in Sanhedrin, but this is actually an easier application in the Ramban. Ramban is saying, if you're a shomer, or you're a worker, and you're dealing with the object, and you're supposed to be dealing with the object, then if something goes awry, you're not a mazik. It's a different parsha. It comes under the rubric, not of Sefer Nezikin, but Sefer Mishpatim. According to the laws of Shomrim, according to the laws of Poalim, that's how you resolve that particular case. The fact that, you know, had you not been a shomer, had you not been a worker, then under these conditions we would have just assessed very simply and elementally, you know, the fact that you did a maisa hezek. That's true. But that's not the relationship. That's what I mean when I say that the chumrah, for the Ramban, the issue is, are you a mazik? Did you do a maisa hezek? If it's labeled something else, the chumrah of if that's the case, b'chai b'filu b'ones, is also the foundation of the kula that says, well, if you're a shomer, and you're a tabach, and you're just trying to do your job, and it goes awry, that's not called mazik. If it's not called mazik, there's no other audio. Yeah, now you can ask.
Why did it go awry? He was posheya.
No. Chalila. If he was posheya, then he would be chayv even as a shomer chinam.
Right.
But he wasn't posheya. That's the whole point.
So how did he get destroyed? Taba chumon.
No, something. What happened?
You
mean you can't imagine a tabach making a mistake that isn't pshia? I wouldn't want to be your tabach. I mean, it happens. Things happen. They're not. No, the sugya there says it depends. But with the way they play it out, as they say, is he a shomer chinam? Is he a shomer zachar? Was it pshia? Was it aveda? Was it gneva? Of course, things happen in. No.
It doesn't happen by itself.
I mean, there was a wind,
that's
and it's malpractice insurance. Malpractice insurance is not does not indicate negligence only, right?
How did the surgery go awry?
There are things that happen. Some people have, undisclosed positions. There's always a level of unpredictability in the way that people, you know, reasonably respond to things. I mean, not everything is pshia. I mean, there are accidents. That's onus. There are onus on the level of onus gomor. You know, maybe there was a hurricane in the middle of the surgery. That's negligence. Okay, and if there wasn't, and if it was only on the level of Geneva, or even Aveda, all those are less than Pshia.
But it's Kilkel. It's not talking about...
No, Kilkel doesn't refer... Kilkel refers to the result. Kilkel refers to the result. Tabach Uman Shekilkel only means that something happened which was Mekalkel the Behema. It doesn't imply the level of vigilance. Absolutely not. It doesn't make a difference. The Gemara there itself discusses, is he a Shomer Chinam, is he a Shomer Zachar, does he take a Shua, is he on this? The point is not that. The point that we're interested in is, why is it Mazik? Who cares how let's say it was, he was in the middle of Hurricane Sandy. Hurricane Sandy, you know, hit in the middle of the surgery. Chas v'shalom. Right? That's negligence. No, but according to the Ramban, that's an onus, and you're an Adam Mu'ad Liolam. Right? But the answer is no, he's not an Adam Mu'ad Li'olam. He's a surgeon. And he has a totally different status and a different relationship with the circumstances. Okay. So that is the Rambam. The Rambam is quite similar to the Ramban, except that he some of the cases are a little bit different. If you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Chovel, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, this is the line 18. Page 3. Adam Mu'ad Li'olam ben Shogeg ben Mezid ben Er ben Yoshein ben Shikor, right? Somebody who's a drunk, right? Im Chava b'chaveru hizik moment chaveru b'shalem min ha'yafesh ben ha'chasif. He has to pay. Doesn't sound like there are any, or there's certainly not many, limitations. The Rambam is choosing, the Rambam is writing a code, right? So if you're like Bali Tosis and you think that the language of the Mishnah is hyperbolic, given the other evidence, right? So if the Bali Tosis were writing a code, you know, I'm reasonably certain that they wouldn't have just said Adam Mu'ad Li'olam Bein Yashin Bein Er. They would have said B'med Var Mamurim in the code. You know, if it's on this level of onus, but not that level of onus, because after all, the evidence is whatever. The Rambam is writing a code, not a perush on the Gemara, and not a tosis on the Gemara. So the fact that he says ben shogeg, ben mezid, ben er, ben yashin, ben shikar, right, your chayiv already establishes pretty clearly that he takes very literally adamu aliyola. Using the language of the Mishnah, the Bali Tosis would be hesitant to use that language without qualifying. The Ram doesn't qualify, and he uses the language. Bamed Ram Amurim, he does qualify, knows how to qualify when he wants to. Yerushalmi. Shahayashen, right, Chayiv L'Shalem. It's not a Bamed Ram Amurim on Adamu Aliyola, mind you. Right? I mean, for Bali Tosis, let me make it clear, the Yerushalmi by Yashen is an example of qualifying all Adamu Aliyola. Don't get too excited, it's not what it seems. But for the Rambam, it's a qualification within Yashen, right? B'med Rambamur Shayashen Chayiv L'Shalem V'Shnayim Shayashnu Ki Echad. They went to sleep at the same time. And one damaged the other or his belongings. It's just the Yerushalmi. But if the other guy went to sleep and then the other fellow subsequently came or put something, but it's fascinating, he quotes the language, Hu Hamuad. He's the guy. Why did the Rambam need it? Like the Ramban. I mean, the Rambam, like the Rambam here, like the Yerushalmi, basically. Not the way the Bali Tosis read the Yerushalmi, that part is lav dafka. Or that if it's dafka, it's only because you don't have a more extreme view of Adamu Aliyolam to begin with, legally, conceptually. The Rambam thought, no, Hu Amua, the second guy, he actually has usurped whatever Muad status the first guy has, right? And that, here he adds, Vimiziko Ayashen Pater. Right? And therefore, he's Pater. V'cheni meniach klit b'tzad Ayashem Shavro Ayashen Pater. Shezeh she'nicho hu hamuad shapasha. It's even stronger than Ramban. The Ramban mentions it once. It seems to me that there's a little bit difference between the Rambam and the Ramban, at least in emphasis. For the Ramban is more emphasizing, he's hoisted by his own petard. He victimized himself. And the Rambam is emphasizing more. He's the true mazik. If he would be mazik, the other guy, he would unquestionably be chayiv now. Therefore, even the gabe himself, he's not the nizak, because we look at him as the mazik or the potential mazik. When he's lying there, we say, "Ah, he's a potential mazik," right? Therefore, he can't be the nizak. That's what the Rambam is saying. Okay, look at halacha Yudbeis for a minute. Mishanafam and Agag Baruch Matsuya Vizik, Yizik, sorry, Chayiv. Okay, if you fall down with, regular wind, Barbadar Patam and Abod, Nofab Roshain and Matsuya, Chayiv and Nazik Bava, Patam and Aladar. Okay, that's a Gemara. The Rambam quotes that faithfully. We'll see in a couple of minutes that the tour, there's a steer on the tour about what seems to be an explicit Gemara. That's Roshain and Matsuya. But I'll just read it. Through the Lecha Mishnah, who brings it up, but it's a big discussion in the Poskim. We'll see in a minute. Then the Rambam says, here in Perek Aleph Halacha Tazayin, this is actually quite interesting. Hamazik is chaver bechavana. If a person damages intentionally, bechol makom, chay bechamisha dvar. Okay, that's pretty obvious. Right? If he intentionally inflicts damage on someone else, he pays, and if it's chavala, chamisha dvar. Afilu nichnas reshus chaver shelo reshuso v'hiziko, right? Even if he enters reshus chavero shelo reshus v'hiziko balabayis chayiv. So Reuven enters Shimon's reshus without permission. Shimon damages him, right? Shimon is chayiv. There's a Gemara, we'll see inside a minute. She'afa, this language of the Gemara too. She'afa b'shiyesh lo reshus lahotzio, even though you came into my domain, right, without permission, and I have every right to throw you out, you can't be in my property without my permission, but ein lo reshus lahaziko. It doesn't mean that it's open, a season, on hunting me or inflicting damage on me. That's a very important principle. Something that we're not surprised about. I think in some cultures that probably isn't true. But obviously we're not surprised about that, but that's very important. Aval imhuzak ze shenichnas, right? Bibalabayis, hare balabayis potter. So this is a little bit tricky. However, if the guy coming in was damaged by the balabayis is potter. That makes sense. Why didn't he say, why did he say imhuzak? Why didn't he say imhizik balabayis?
Same case as before.
What, sorry? No.
Why?
Before we said, if the balabayis knows that he's there,
and he
has no right to intentionally damage him, now we're saying, if he got damaged without, if imhuzak, possession nechus balabayis, right, or abayi balabayis potter.
Who got huzak?
The trespasser was huzaked
by the balabayis.
So but he didn't. But it's curious. I'm only pointing out, and we'll see in a minute, that he doesn't say hizik balabayis. Esha nizak. He said the nizak got huzaked.
How did he get huzaked by the balabayis in the third case?
Well, we'll see. Bim huzak bo balabayis. If the balabayis gets injured, chayiv mipnei shenichnas shelo brishus. Okay. If they each one gets damaged by the other, they trip on him, whatever, each one trips on the other, etc. If they're both there with Shneim Brishus or Shneim Shalom Brishus, Vehuzku Zebazesh Shneim Pturim. Okay. What about Hizikus Shneim Zezeh? That's a little tricky. Okay, so let me just give you a little background just for a second. You'll see this and we're just going to spend a few more minutes on it. There are really two sources. If you look very quickly, the Gemara in Bava Kamma here, I should have put it on the sheets, but I forgot. On Chav Vav Amud Aleph, I'm sorry, not Chav Ches Amud Aleph. I'm trying to think where we should do that now, or... You know what? Actually, let's begin with look for a second on. Trying to think what order I should do this in. The let's look at the Mishnah on Lamed Beis. That's actually easier. Look at the Mishnah on Lamed Beis Samad Aleph, and then we'll look at Memches. Easier. Mishnah says Shnayim Shahoyu Mahalchin versus Harabin. You have two people in Rishus HaRabim. That's Rishus She'eno Shel Shneim, right? Echad Rots, Echad Mahalech, or Shneim Rotsim. One is walking, one is running, they're both running, right? V'hiziku Ze'ezeh. Okay? And they bang into each other, right? Shneim Peturim. They're both Potter. That's a simple reading of the Mishnah. Why? Aramua the Olam. Right? A bangs into B, B bangs into A. Right? Shneim Pturim. Okay. You see on the side it says, Pirush Rashi Lekamon Mem Chesomid Beis Dibra Maskel Chayavin. Everybody have that on the side of the Gemara? Okay, so look for 1 minute on Mem Chesomid Beis. Look at for 1 minute on Mem Chesomid Aleph, and then we'll turn to Mem Chesomid Beis. The Gemara says the following. Omar Rava. This is on the, see the wide lines on the bottom of the page? On Mem Ches Amud Aleph? Omar Rava. Nichnas l'chotzer balabayis shelo brishus. This is what these Rambams are connected to. A man enters into the domain of his Reuven, walks into Shimon's property without permission. Right? V'hizik es balabayis, and he damages the owner. O balabayis huzak bo, or the owner, right, trips over him, does passively, it sounds like, gets damaged because of his presence. In other words, Reuven didn't do it to Shimon, but Shimon incurred damages, you know, by virtue of Reuven's presence, even though there was no active hezek on part of Reuven. So the halacha is chayiv. Okay, because shelo b'rishus. His ziko balabayis, if the balabayis himself actively damages the trespasser, visitor, potter. Then the Gemara says, Amra Papa, lo amarna lila habiyadabe. That's if he didn't know he was there. Ah. Does it really have to be they didn't know he was there, or they didn't do it intentionally? That's going to be the tricky point in a minute. Aval hava yadabe, the Gemara here says yadabe, right? If he knew that he was there, yadabe means, again, knows he's there or knows that he's being mazik. His ziko balabayis chayiv, then if the balabayis damages him, he is chayiv. My taima, mishum da amale, nehi de islach mishusa lafuke. This is what the Gemara, what Rambam was quoting. It's true that he has the right to throw him out. He's a trespasser. But lazuke leislach rishusa, you have no right to damage him. But ozdi letamayu damarava vidhimara papa, shneim brishus or shneim shelo brishus. Right? If both are have the right to be there, both don't have the right to be there. That's just an equal playing field. Hiziku zezechayavim. Right? If they damage each other actively, or one damages the other actively, chayev, husku zeba zepturim. But if they're, you know, passively, you know, incur damage, then pturim. Okay. Tama says the Gemara, d'shneim b'rshus, d'shneim shelo b'rshus, but echad b'rshus v'echad shelo b'rshus, d'b'rshus patur shelo b'rshus chan. Says Rashi, this is what the Gemara on the side was quoting. Look at the Rashi, d'b'rmaskol chayavin. D'b'nezakin lo shanilon be'miskavin l'shein miskavin. Right? Adam mu'ad li'olam, so we don't care nezek whether it's the skavin or not. But then the Mishnah say that Shnaim Shri Mahalchim Bershus Arabim or Ratzin or Echad Ratz V'Echad Mahalech, the Mishnah said Hiziku Ze Zep Turim. Hiziku means actively. So in Rishus Shel Shneim, it sounds like if there's active damage, whoever the active damager is, that comes under the rubric of Adam U'Liolam. Right? But there it says pturim. Here it says chayavim. Says Rashi, hahu heziku huzku velodok belishne. Basically, Rashi says, yeah, there seems to be a stira here. This Gemara says that if it's equal playing field, shneim brishus or shneim shelo brishus, then who's chayiv and who's potur? It depends, hiziku or huzku. Right? Active or passive. Okay? But the Mishnah there seems to say that in a rishus shel shneim, shneim ratzim, shneim mahalchim, that even hiziku is potur. Says Rashi, it doesn't mean it. The language of the Mishnah is imprecise. They meant their huzku, not hiziku. Okay? What we're going to show is that the Rambam, the Ravid holds like Rashi, and we're going to show that the Rambam doesn't hold like Rashi. So one more time, look at Aleph Tazayin. Hamazik es chaveru bechavana bechol makom chay bechamisha dvar. Okay, that's clear. If you intentionally inflict damage wherever you are, you can't do that. Afilu nichlas uchus chaveru shelo brishuso, even a trespasser v'ziko balabayis, and we're talking about bechavana chay. That's what we just read. I can throw you out, but I can't damage you. Aval, listen to the contrast. Im huzak zeshe nichnas bebal habayis, or a balabayis patur. Right? Im huzak balabayis bo, he's chayiv, shenichnas shelo brishus, b'ho yishneim brishus, ha-shneim shelo brishus, b'huzku zebazeh, shneim peturim. What about hiziku zebazeh? That the Ram doesn't say. Here. Okay? If you look at, what page is this? 3. Go to page
5. So the Rambam says as follows. We'll do this one first, and then we'll do the... Look at Halacha Gimel. Line 8. Look at Halacha Beis. Line 5. Or 6. Echad ahorig behemto shel chavero shover kelev v'pareh begadav kotzitz tiyosav hakol dinecha. Fine. You know what? Yeah. Okay. Bamedvar mamurim b'rishus hanizak. This is true in Rishus Hanizak. I mean, the damage takes place, the victim, right, is in his own domain. Right? But if I walk in avol b'rishus hamazik, right, eino chayv l'shalem, ela im hizik b'zadon. If you're in the wrong, if you're in a domain without permission, then the only way you're going to be chayiv, the only way that person is going to be chayiv if he damages you, is if he did it bezadon. Aval b'shgaga o ba'ones, it's patur. What happened to Adamur the Olam? V'chein, okay, it's because saying a brishusa, fine. V'chein im hoya shneim brishus, or shneim shalom brishus, v'hizik echad mehem mamun chaveiro, Shalom b'chavana, potter. Where is that based on? The Mishnah on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. But it seems to be against the Gemara on Mem Ches Amud Beis. So that's what the Ravid says. The Ravid's comment, Hasagas HaRavid, Om Rav Ram Din Ze'ena Mechuvar, De'afilu Shneem Bershus, or Shalom Bershus, V'lo HaVeyada Bei, Im Iziku Chayabin, Avlim Husku Zebaze Pturin. I mean, the Ravid, like Rashi, obviously squared the Gemaras by distinguishing between Heziku and Huzku. And it seems clear that the Rambam disagrees, that the Rambam takes the case as Kipshutam, and thinks if two people are in the same Rishus, right, even Heziku Zebazeh will be Potur. How does this work in with the idea of Adam Bo'ad Yolam? Right? So let's go to one other Rambam for a minute. And that is, two other Rambams, okay. Look back to, on the top of the page, line 1-2. This is the first Rambam in Perek Vav. The previous Rambams were in Perek Aleph. The Rambam is much more expansive in Perek Vav. Hamazik mamun chaver chayv l'shalim nezik shalim. If you damage somebody's property, Adam Amazik, you have to pay. Bein Shei Shogeg, Bein Shei Ones. Okay, that he said also in the first parak. But here he adds three words. Hare Hu Kemezid. Now, that's a legal statement. That's a conceptual statement, not a legal statement, really. Meaning it's an explanation. He doesn't say the words Hare Hu Kemezid in parak Aleph. Okay. What's the Rambam trying to say? Any Maisa Hezek, even Ba'ones, is considered to be a Mazik. That's what he's telling you. Exactly like the Rambam. That's why he's very expansive. Ketzad. Nafal Menagag, Shavas Akelim, Nitgal, Kishu Mahalik, he trips. Nafal Al Klini, falls on top of an object. Vishavro Chayv Nezek Shalim. Shenemer Maka Behemi Shameno, Lochila Kakosim, and Shogil Amazin. Fine. The Echad Horeg Behem to Shokhavero, Chokhti, that we read, fine. Look at Halakha Dalet. Hoy Ola Besulam. He's climbing up a ladder. Benishmada Shliva Mitachtav. And the rung underneath, right, gives way. Venafla Vizika. And he falls and causes damage. So Imlo Haysam Hudekes the Chazaka. If it wasn't a properly maintained ladder, that's kind of Pshia, right? Chayav. Bim Haisa Chazaka U Mehudekes Vinishmita Oshitlia, and still it came loose, an act of God, or well, Sin Mona should have said that, or Hitlia, there are worms, but he couldn't know about it, etc. Areza Patur, that's why I shouldn't have said it, because he said it. Shazu Makabide Shemayim, he. This is a Makabide Shemayim. V'chen Kol Kiyotzu Bazeh, V'cholei Lo Advarim,
That's Breshus HaNizak. Breshus HaMazik, Patra Chi Skaven, Lahazik Kemoshe B'Yarn. Interesting that he brings that whole issue back. Oh, 1 second. So the Ravid says, Omer Avram, Teimani, Maishna Ona Zemi Rosh Shena Mitsuya. What's the difference between that and a gale force wind? Umina Yashen, or he's sleeping. Ubigar Mashmud Lo Itla Ones, the Itla, but okay, that part doesn't concern us. Fine.
I think the rung fell down and hit somebody. Because it says,
but not Flav Ehizikah. Okay. Okay. Either way. The Gemara, it's either way. Okay. It doesn't make a difference. Right, but it's Koko. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's not Adam Amazik.
Right.
I'm saying it's not Niske Mamun, it's Adam Amazik. Okay. So what is going on here? Look, one more. If you look at Halakha, hey, Hare Shemila Kotzer Chavero, Kadiyayin Veshemen. This is the Gemara that we read on Chavzayinu and Beis. Somebody, they fill up the Rosh Hasharabim with barrels. Right, if you look at some brashus, even they had permission. Hovlo kibel abala chotzer lishmar harizan nichlas v'yo. You're allowed to be yotzer minichlas kadarko. Aval sheishtaber minakadim, v'chol sheishtaber minakadim, b'knisase b'tzrasa r'patra lehem. V'im shavrasa b'chavana, if he does it intentionally, afil uchnisam balakadim shelo brashus. Even if the other guy had no permission to bring them in, but if he damages them intentionally, chayv l'shalim v'chein kokiyotze b'zeh. Once again, the Ravid says, Omer Avram, efshar l'din zeh kishalo nasan l'rishus l'malos, avon nasan l'rishus l'malos, chayv. If the guy has a right to put his barrels there, then that should be chayv. Okay. So they have three cases where the Ravid is more machmir than the Rambam. In all three cases, he's basically, without saying the words, saying Adam Muad Leola. You know, like a chant, like a mantra. You know, he doesn't say the words, but that's what he's saying. I don't care if you're climbing up the ladder and you have every reason to think that, you know, that everything is, you know, good and well, right? Yechayev. And Hiziku Zebazeh, even if it's a place, you know, where, you know, Lishneim Yesh Rishus or Lishneim Ein Rishus, you know, they hurt each other, each one has to pay. Right? The difference between Hiziku and Huzku. And then they have this one. If the people have right to put their barrels in the in the place there, then then it's Adamu Adiola. And what's the Rambam's view? I mean, the Rambam does hold Adam Mu'ad Leola. Afila Bones, Afila Baruch Shein Mitsuya. Right? He doesn't make the qualifications of the Balitosis, or even of the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef, we'll see in a moment. The answer is, for the Rambam, like for the Ramban, although some of the applications probably are different, what makes Adam Mu'ad Leola is the fact that he's a Mazik. The only time he won't be Chayev is that there's no Ptur Onus in the Rambam. There are circumstances that just are mafkia, the shame mazik. It's just not mazik. The context or the circumstances, that's why the Rambam uses the expression makad bidei shemayim. The guy's climbing up a ladder. And the thing, that isn't even a maisa hezek. That's makad bidei shemayim. Again, if you want to ask the Ravid's good question, what's the difference between that and ruach sheina mitsuya? The answer is that ruach sheina mitsuya still picks you up and you're still in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, maybe you should be listening. I don't know if it's a question of listening to the weather forecast, but the point is that you're still involved in the hezek. You're not climbing a ladder. You're not doing A and you end up doing B. Right? And I think that's a pshat in the Rambam Hezekuah. The Rambam thinks that it's not enough. The question in the Gemara there is not just who's active and who's passive. It's that the context itself sometimes dictates that the nezek happened. But it's a question of an absence of a maisa hezek, not the presence of a ptur onus. Yeah?
Why does the Rambam leave out in Halacha Yudah, in Perak Halacha Yudah, Ben Onus, Ben Masa?
Bain?
Bain Onas and Bain Ratzon. You list everything else.
Right. I think this is the Rambam's... I think he's much more expansive in Perek Vav. But again, in a way, he's being true to the Mishnah and the Gemara. I mean, the Mishnah says, Adam Mu'ad Li'olam, Bein Mezid, Bein Shogeg, Bein Er, Bein Yashin. And it's only the Gemara, based on Petzah Tachas Patzah, that's on Chavav Mud Aleph. It's only on Chavav Mud Beis that the Gemara finally says, you know, Bein Ones, Bein Ratzah. So I think the Rambam is reflecting that. That these are different levels. I think there's an acknowledgement here that, you know, we're catapulting Adam Amazik in Perek Vav. Whereas in Perek Aleph, we're just kind of speaking more generally. So I think that's also why he doesn't add the words Harehu Kamezid in Perek Aleph, and he does in Perek Vav. So let me mention one other case before we move on. And that is, again, Nafal Menagag Beruah Shein Metzuya, a very interesting issue. So again, I was going to go through the Magid Mishnah series, but I'm not going to. But the Magid Mishnah just read the Rambam. The Magid Mishnah is very fascinating. If you read it, Perek Aleph Hilchos Chovel and Perek Vav Hilchos Chovel, you see what, you know, he's kind of being pulled in two directions. On the one hand, he is tempted to read the Rambam, you know, through the eyes of the Bali Tosis. Namely, that there are three levels of Ones, and that Adam Mu'ad Li'olam isn't, you know, literal in the extreme. After all, the Rambam does have some cases where you're potter. Then when he gets to certain very specific halachos, he shies away from that because he understands that it doesn't sound like the Rambam is formulating these halachos as the Bali Tosis would have. And the Kesef Mishnah kind of notes this and says, he doesn't understand why the Magid Mishnah is so reticent. Didn't he write earlier, like when the Rambam speaks about, you know, about the Sulam case, you know, so the Kesef Mishnah says, yeah, the Magid Mishnah, when he shouldn't have been so tentative about saying that the Rambam doesn't believe that Adam Mu'ad Li'olam applies in Ones Gomer. He should just quote the Sulam case. But if you ask me, the Magid Mishnah tentative suggestion is not correct in the Rambam, to begin with. And as for the Sulam case, I think it's very pointed, as I said, that the Rambam uses the expression Makim B'dei Shemayim, and he doesn't use the expression of Ones. By the way, the Rambam uses the same expression Makim B'dei Shemayim in Perek Gedalet, Hichos Niskei Mamon Halacha Beis, when he talks about certain Eish cases, we'll talk about them, which don't, at the moment of the lighting of the fire, seemingly, or according to the regular, you know, expectations, doesn't have the capacity to do that kind of a damage, but then it does. The Rambam calls that also Makah B'nei Shemayim. That's interesting. Doesn't sound like... The Rif calls those cases Makah B'nei Shemayim Shehu Ones. And the Rambam drops the Ones. I think the Rambam thinks that Makah B'nei Shemayim and Ones are two different ideas. Okay.
Two different ideas.
Very closely related, but two different ideas.
What's the critical difference?
No, what I'm saying is the Rambam doesn't think that there's if you have a Maisa Hezek, there is no Pturanos. Just that certain things aren't a Maisa Hezek. They're an act of God. A Makah B'dei Shemayim is not a Maisa Hezek. Not that it's a Maisa Hezek, but this is the Onus Gadol Me'od, and it's Potur. That's what I mean. It's not a Ptur. It's a hafkas maisa hezek. It takes away. You say, "Oh, the Rabbanu Shalom did that." Not that I did it, but I was totally blameless. I did it, but I had no. I had no choice. I didn't do that. The Rabbanu Shalom did it.
It vitiates the mark enemy.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, if you did the maisa hezek, you're always going to be chayim. Just that the Rambam is saying sometimes legally, and that's I think what the Ramban is saying too, legally that's not called a Maisa Hezek because of who you are, because of what the other person did, because it's Rishus Shel Shneim or Rishus Shel Hamazik, so that just changes the dynamic. All these things go into dictating this stat. That's really what I'm trying to suggest. That's why he used the expression Makah B'nei Shemayim. And that's why, again, the Husku, Hiziku, It's much more complicated. Okay, let me say two more things before we end. One in the Rambam and then the Mukhe Yosef. So there's a tour. If you look here on page 4, number 20, this is the Lechem Mishnah. I'm just using it as a Lechem Mishnah for convenience. The tour is the tour, you know what I mean? But we don't have it in front of us. I don't want to copy so much. So there's a tour in Simen Shin Ein Ches, and there's a tour in Simen, whatever it is, Shin Tafra the Chathal. So the Lechem Mishnah lays it out. He says, if you look at line 20, Hatema la tour. Shekosav Reishochon Sazik and Simen Shin Ein Ches. In Simen Shin Ein Ches, he says, Kishem She'osar Ligno V'Ligzo Mamon. We actually saw this tour earlier in the year. Just as you're not allowed to steal or rob, Kach Osar Lahazik Mamon Shalom. U'Bavad Shalo Yehe Onus. As long as you're not Onus. Wow. So he does admit that there's a tour Onus and not a Mamazik. Tour is going with the Bali Tosas. Tour is the son of the Rosh. The Rosh accepted the Bali Tosas view. Fine. Kigon. Now here's where it gets tricky. Im nafal beruach sheina mitzuya. His example of onus is ruach sheina mitzuya. That's against the Gemara. The Gemara says explicitly in Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, we read it last week, I mentioned it again this week, that if you fall from a ruach sheina mitzuya, then you're chayiv nezik. You're not chayiv for hey dvarim, and you're not chayiv for boshes, you know, even if you were chayiv for hey dvarim, but you're not chayiv for either of those, but you are chayiv for nezik. Mashma mihasam afil nezek eno chayiv. The kibbutz ayria tur behizik mamon chavero, right? Lo ayria libin ezek bovad. He's talking about not chavala. He's talking about damaging property. So there's no hay dvarim. There's only nezek. Why aren't you chayiv nezek? That's an explicit gemara. Dehasam lo shayich. I mean, does it make sense to say that the gemara thinks you're chayiv nezek only if you're potter midala dvarim? But if they're only Adam Amazik, you would be Potter? Ah, we'll see in a second. The Hasam was Shaykh Ta'od Dvarim. Alpha became Kosav Shabinafa Baruch Shein Mitzuya Potter. Im Kain Ava Hefrik Devei Rava Ha'omrim B'Gemara. I'm sorry, Ha'omrim B'Gemara. Ba'odu Simen Tav Chaf Aleph. It's not bad enough that the tour seemingly contradicts the Gemara, right? The tour contradicts himself. Because he codifies that Gemara in Simen Tav Chaf Aleph Kasev Atur Nafal Menagag Baruch Mitzuya Chay B'Dal Advarim V'im Nafal Baruch Sheina Mitzuya Eino Chay V'Le B'Nezek V'Heim Divrei Rava. So it's not like he turned his back on Rava. Maybe he thought the global evidence doesn't sustain it. It's, you know, obviously a Gemara that is implicitly reject. No, he paskins it. V'im Kein Dimtzu Dvar V'Dereish. Hilchos Nezikin, so stream Divrei Gemar v'Divrei Atzmo. So his answer is an interesting answer. V'nira l'taritz ki l'tur hukshalo d'ruach sheina mitzuya domi lonesim gedolim. He was bothered, like, why should you be chayiv for this? Isn't it like an onus? Again, remember, the tur, like the rush, like the Bali Tosis probably, so you're chayiv for an onus, you're putter for an onus gomor. So, like the Ramban said, a ruach sheina mitzuya, you know, gale winds. In the chon is going to gadol mizeh, right? So that's what bothered him. The kivan shafila benezek patur ones gadol, like the Bali tells us, im ken hoyla lifter ruach sheina mitzuya. The leisai teirutz of the tirutz Rajba, the Rajba says that a ruach sheina mitzuya isn't so terrible. It means it's not a ruach mitzuya. Not gale winds. It's just, you know, it's whatever the meteorologist says is it's a little more than the expected winds. Okay. That's not such a big onus. Maybe you're not pot. Maybe you're going to be chayiv for that. But he says he doesn't hold like the Rajba, probably. He holds that it's gale winds. So if gale winds, you should be potter. Could a kasav rav beis yosef? The islay de ruach sheina mitzuya lo hava onus gadol. That's the Rajba. But he doesn't hold this way. Okay. Lechem Mishnah came up with an interesting suggestion. for the tour. That is, the guy goes up to the roof, right, and that was an act of pshita. Because he's roi up there, lipol beruach mitsuya. But, as it happens, you know, the wind that he encountered wasn't a ruach mitsuya. It was a ruach she'ena mitsuya. Right? So that's called tchilasa b'pshia, the sofa ba'ones. Since he's tchilasa b'pshia legabe, the ruach mitsuya, that's a fascinating topic, which we're not going to do right now. We did mention it a little bit in Guarding Boar as well. And again, when we talked about Shane and Regel, we talked about whether you can, you know, tchilasa b'shane, sofa b'regel, or whatever. Very interesting topic. So that's how he wants to resolve it. He says, if it's tchilaso b'pshia legabe ruach mitsuya v'sofo, he gets hit by ruach sheina mitsuya, he's going to be chai. But of course, if it was, you know, it's fine for him to come up with a ruach mitsuya, and he only got, you know, encountered the ruach sheina mitsuya, then that's an onus gamur. Even if it's a diuk, the simit tav chaf aleph shina hatur seder agamara, the kasav tchila nafal baruch mitzuya. If he noticed that the tour brings the gemara in the opposite sequence, why did he do that? Because he was trying to say that, you know, first you need to know that if he falls baruch mitzuya, that he's chayev. Then you need to know, in this case, that even in Ruach Sheina Mitsuya, if he's you know, a pasha, etc. V'nasan tam d'lohayo la'alas l'gag. He shouldn't have gone up to the roof at all. Yach kakosav nafal b'ruach Sheina Mitsuya. Klomar, kivin j'pasha d'ola, v'mokrim t'shocha lipo b'ruach Mitsuya, afal pishal lo nafal ala b'ruach Sheina Mitsuya, nezek miyachayev. Afal pishal sasam advarim, fine, good. I always thought there could be another answer, and actually some of the poskim say this. And that is, maybe there's a difference between Mazik and Chovel. In other words, till now, what we've been saying is that the status of Adam HaMazik, right, and Adam Mu'ali Olam, and the question of applying the different levels of Ones, are you going to be Chayv, are you going to be Potter, etc., Ones of Aveda, Ones of Geneva, Ones Gomor, right, is across the board in Adam HaMazik, meaning Adam HaMazik Mamon Shochavero, and Adam HaMazik in the context of Chavala. Right? But the truth is that the Gemara is talking about being Patur from the other Chamisha Dvarim. The case of the Gemara is a case of Chavala. Is it possible that even in this question, Gufa, in other words, why are you Chayev, and therefore what are you Chayev for? If I cause damage, maybe the reason that I'm chayiv is because of, to say it this way, a lack of shmiras atzmo. And that has its limits in the case of onus. But if I'm chovel b'chavero, maybe the chayiv is the ma'isa chavala. Ptur onus doesn't help you. Sorry?
But he says, kach asu lahazik mamon shelo. He's not talking about chavala. The second line of the quotation from the Torah.
What's the second line of the quotation of the Torah? Are you talking about reading in the Lechanishra? Ubevad shalo yehonus. Going to be no. James also leaking over the chavero. No, that's something. No, that's second. Mamon shalo shel chavero. Not shalo shalo.
No, shel chavero. So it's not chavalo. It's a
mazik. Right, but Ruach, that's where he says that Ruach Sheina Mitsuya, however, will be Potter.
If it's by Kabbalah.
That's where he...
By Kabbalah?
No. There are two tours. The tour that says Kashem, and that says that Ruach, against the Gemara, that Ruach Sheina Mitsuya is actually Potter, that's against the Gemara, against Rava.
Right.
That's the first one. That's talking about Adam Mazik. The Tav Chaf Aleph, that's Shinayin Ches, the first one. Tav Chaf Aleph is Hilchos Chavala. There, and the Gemara is talking about Chavala, because the Gemara says, oh, you only have to pay the Nezek. But you don't pay the Boshes, you don't pay the Tzar, you don't pay the Ripui. What? Maybe the idea is that even if the mechayiv of Adam HaMazik is limited by onus gamur, right? When it comes to Maisa Chavala, right? Where you have an Echbal and so on, or the Maisa, the looms even larger, that is when you say, Adamu Adiolam, Afilu, Bahones, Gong. Okay? And there are other answers that are given to it as well. I think we're going to have to stop here. Let's just have 5 more minutes on this topic next time, because I have 10 minutes. But I want to speak about the Nebuki Yosef. Till now, we've spoken about two, you know, roughly, really three sheet, four shitas, but basically three. The Ravid, who's very, most extreme, an Adamu Adiolam. The Bali Tosus, who are most Makel, saying even Shel. Onus shel Gneva's Patur, and the Rambam and the Ramban, who think even Onus Gamur is Chayiv, but they have other exceptions when there's no Maisa Hezek, each in its own way. The Nemukhe Yosef seems to have a middle Shita, and that is you're Chayiv for the Onus of Aveda and of Gneva, but you are Patur for an Onus Gamur. And I want to spend just a couple of minutes trying to understand, is he whole like Bali Tosus, but he's a little bit more extreme? Or does he basically hold like the Ramban and the Rambam, but he's a little more moderate? Okay? And there is where I want to discuss the impact of Onas Rachmana Patra. Is it possible that there are certain Onsim that are Mafkia, the Maisa Avera, or the Maisa Hagavra? Meaning, is it just Onas Rachmana Patra? Or is it also, to use the language of the Yerushalmi, Onas Keman, the low of it? If something happens, Ba'ones, maybe legally, that's not considered to be your action. Okay? So that's what I want to speak about for a couple minutes next time, and then we'll move on to Aish. And I